Do you love fashion? Do you love getting compliments on how well you're dressed? Are you always seeking the latest trends? Then we're talking to you. BostonProper.com is your fashion destination and the only place to go for all those nods, head turns, and new styles. No matter the day, season, or occasion, Boston Proper has what you're looking for. Sophisticated, confident clothing designed to flatter and get noticed. So visit BostonProper.com now and start creating your perfect wardrobe. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Give yourself a delicious escape from the afternoon with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
You've prayed and prayed one thing, according to this email. You've prayed and prayed that he changes his mind.
Yeah.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the podcast. And this is, man, what episode is it, Bernie? Sometimes I have to sit in here and act like look up my podcast on, let's see, 206. Welcome to the podcast, Bernie Calcote. How long have you been on the podcast? Years.
Yeah, years, man. What a privilege. It's been a fun ride.
Dude, I love having you on here because you have such wise answers, such wise counsel, and that's what we do is answer people's questions. But we usually, like we just did, spend about at least 30 minutes when you get here working through our own questions that we have, because we answer your questions on this podcast, but then we spend a pretty good amount of time answering each other's. And dude, you just told me you've had like a major life switch. I kind of exaggerated, a little dramatic on that, but yeah, you.
I think minor shift with major impacts, you could say that.
Yeah.
So
from one book, right?
Yeah, one book, Habits of the Household. If you haven't picked it up and read it, it's really, really great. It's a Christian-based book around the habits that we call normal things that we do throughout our days, throughout our weeks, that our kids, as we're raising them and we're kind of shaping what our households look like, it's really an opportunity of formation for these kids. And I don't think a lot of times we forget that even the smallest things, the smallest rhythms are impacting them on a deep, deep level, and just kind of being aware of that. And then it was a great guide in just practical things, because sometimes we get caught up on these lofty ideas of loving God, serving people, reading the Bible. But how does that actually look when it comes to bedtime routine or screen time limits or food that we eat? And so it does a really good job of kind of helping guide some of those rhythms. And it's been really great. So,
dude, so many people, I think, are out of rhythm. And there's a lot of factors that cause it. In America, people that are listening internationally might not understand this problem we have, but it's called youth sports. And it is... I don't know. Do you agree? Yep. I mean, it's horrible. I think that our kids should be in sports. Okay. And my kids both of them are, but we have to have limits on that, and it cannot rule our lives. It cannot rule our schedules.
I 100% agree. I also think that even in the boundaries that you put sports, in competitive sports, there has to be an understanding of what is the purpose, because there's a certain amount of pressure and like competitive nature that we can put on these kids at such a young age, and it's detrimental. It's more detrimental than it is beneficial, teaching them to work as a team, to put other people first, to kind of push through adversity. Those things are really great.
Yes.
But man, I've just seen so many kids, and from coaches as well, just get really just hurt. I mean, it's the biggest word, or the best word to use. They just get hurt. And those are wounds that I feel like they're going to be working through for a long time. So I think, yeah, competitive sports dictating our time, and just the impact it has on kids. I think the biggest thing that we've done this fall, like I was telling you earlier, is somewhat unintentionally, but somewhat after reading this book and talking through it, we've slowed down.
Mm.
And it's amazing in our culture.
Imagine that crazy concept.
It's amazing in our culture that it's actually a counterculture thing to, wait, slow down? You have family dinner and you cook food at your house together, and you eat together, and you talk. And I'll be the first to admit, in seasons past, that was not us. And we have just kind of grabbed a hold of this, and I really hope we can hang on to it, because I'm already seeing some of the benefits from us just being able to slow down.
Yeah. We have somehow gone into a culture now where we say, man, my kids, I make them go be in sports because they need that for their leadership and development and social skills and athletic skills. And they cannot miss a practice. They cannot quit. You know how we are as Americans. We're fighters and we don't quit. So once you start something, you don't quit, and you need to be in team sports, and you need to compete. And we've gotten into that somehow. And that somehow has now crept into Sunday mornings. Mm-hmm. And we're no longer a culture at all that says we're going to go to church as a family on Sunday mornings. We're going to have dinner together around a table as a family in our house. That's not a priority. It sounds nice, but it's definitely not, because team sports and jobs win. I'm not by any means saying that you cannot skip church and you cannot skip family dinner. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, where does it lie in the priority list? And it's very interesting. And I'm right there with you. That I have gone through decades of this myself, and I know you said that you have too. But I think it might be time for us just to have a shift in priorities and understanding of what might be really important.
Yeah. From my childhood, I remember the normals. I remember what was the normal rhythm, not the exceptions. So if the normal rhythm is you skip church no matter what for a sports, and that is where the priority is, when the kids are older, that's what they're going to remember. That's what we are teaching them, what is a normal rhythm. And by our actions and by our leadership and our discipleship of them, really forming who they're going to be and what their priorities, what they're going to look back on when they're our age and say, well, in my household, this was normal. I think we have the opportunity to recognize it, but you have to know, and anybody out there who's listening, who's like, man, you guys are talking crazy right now in our culture, yet you will be fighting against the world. I've been in Romans 12:2, like, deep dive recently. And I mean, do not conform to the pattern of this world. You're going to be fighting against the world. If you try to slow down, if you try to say no to like more opportunities and more options, if you say no to those things in order to preserve your family meal time, to preserve your connection with your wife time, it's going to be a fight. If you limit the amount of time you're on your smartphone or social media, you are going to be fighting against the culture. It's not going to be easy. So don't expect like, oh, well, listen to Granger and Bernie, and then I just did this, and it's like, oh, life is great. It's like, no, it's going to be a fight. But there are things worth fighting for, and I think this is one of them. So
that's amazing, man. You always come in here with some kind of great knowledge that I need to hear, and I appreciate that, man. We answer questions on here, whatever you have. It could be about any topic. You email us, GrangerSmithPodcast@gmail.com. and put it in the queue here. And
can I say something real quick about these questions?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I was kind of thinking about coming up here and meet with you and the questions that people send. And I know that we've had some questions that are very similar in nature. And I started to think, is there anybody out there who may have a question that is so, I don't want to say bizarre, but that is so uncommon that they don't want to send it in because they haven't, it's easy to send something in about a relationship and a breakup and because maybe you've heard that on the podcast before, but I'm going to just challenge anybody out there. If you have a question that just feels like, man, I can't put that out there because nobody's ever said anything like that. Hmm. That's what we want, really. It's like really we really want, because there may be another person out there wishing they could ask the same question and get some advice and some guidance. And so if one of you guys could just think of that thing you're going through, you may feel alone, but you're probably not. So put it out there. So yeah,
that's a great point. And the opposite is also true. If you've heard the question so many times, but you have a different way of saying it, by all means, send it in, because we have a tendency. Well, first of all, we could probably give you a tweak on the answer.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Because we don't have notes in front of us. And then secondly, so many people fail to hear their own story in someone else's. As much as you do hear your story in someone else's, there are the same group of people that are like, well, my problem's different. Like this girl, me and this girl, we're different. This girl that's ghosting me right now, that's like, I'm so heartbroken. It's different than all the other stories you read, Granger. My story's different. And so you could ask that again. And then Bernie and I'll just reassure you, maybe it's not that different. Maybe as humans, we're not as separate as you think we might be.
That's good.
Speaking of, let's get to the next question.
Yep.
Subject line here says, how do I honor my father when I don't respect him? We've probably heard something like this. Mm-hmm. Says, hey, Granger, I'm 53 years old. I'm a woman who was raised by an abusive father. As time passed, I have forgiven him and our relationship was mended, but I've always continued to be guarded with him. I recently found out about some things that he's done within the last 10 years with my stepsister, who is now deceased, and it's completely changed the way I feel about him. I've really been struggling with how I could honor him according to the Bible when I have zero respect for him. I want to do the right thing, but I really need help with this one. Thanks so much for your time, Tina. So awesome, Tina. Thank you for emailing and being vulnerable in this situation. I'm going to recap here. You're 53. You're raised by an abusive father, but as time passed, you forgave him, and it sounds like things got better. And then recently, you found out some stuff after you forgave him, after you thought that things were mended and were better, you found out he really was the same snake that you always thought that he was. Bible also says a leopard doesn't lose its spots. So that's what happened here. And now you're struggling. And so let's walk through it. First of all, your forgiveness, and understandably, your forgiveness was conditional upon him not messing up again. So it's like, hey, Dad, I forgive you as long as you don't ever do this again. And then he did. I don't blame you, because all of us at some level have a condition to our forgiveness, because we don't have perfect forgiveness. But then the other thing is, you've recognized that forgiveness doesn't mean trust. Forgiving someone doesn't mean now you trust them. I forgive you, now I trust you. That's false. You don't have to trust. You can forgive, which is a selfless gift that you give them as you're releasing that from yourself. But that doesn't mean I'm going to trust you. You're still a rattlesnake and you could still bite me. And you kind of got that in the first paragraph when you said, but I've always continued to be guarded with him. But then you found out he really screwed up. Now, I don't think any of that's part of your question. I'm just kind of establishing the situation. Mm-hmm. None of that's your question. Your question is, how could I honor him? Because the Bible says, honor your mother and father. You're saying, how in the world could I do that? And that's the question. And mm-hmm. I think it's a good one. And I think a lot of people could be in a situation like this. And so without having any notes or special quotes or even the Bible besides my phone sitting in front of me, I would say, what do we think it means to honor? What do we think the Bible meant by that? Because surely it would be all-encompassing. It didn't say honor your mother and father unless they did this. And it also, of course, the Bible, any inspired writer of the Bible would understand that that's not a universal thing that parents are going to be good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we know those two things. Like, that's just common sense. So as we're kind of unpacking this and building this story, and I'm trying to show y'all that what Bernie and I are doing, we don't have special revelation. We're just going to slowly let's just talk through it and unpack it. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, probably in the same way that you could honor a soldier for what he has done, and your father, because he is your father by identity, by biological purposes, he's your father. Just like a soldier would be a soldier and participate in some battle, and we would honor him or her for the battle, the soldier. But that doesn't mean that we take that soldier's personal life and accept it and trust it and love all of it, right? What they have done. And we see this happening now when they're taking down statues, because they're like, we honored him at one time, but then we found out some dark secret about him, so we're tearing down the statue. Mm-hmm. And I think that's when it comes, there's a difference between the honor for who they are and what they represent to you and the person that they are and what they have done in their life. I think we have to be able to separate that. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
This is Tina.
Tina.
Yeah. So, Tina, thank you for sending this in. You did what I just kind of asked. I didn't know this question was coming.
Totally.
I don't think that abusive fathers are questions that we hear very often, but I know, whether it is physical or verbal, emotional, I know that there are a ton of abusive fathers out there. And one, you don't deserve that at all. Nobody does. If you're listening and you're in this situation, there's nothing you've done to deserve the abuse that you're getting. It's not right in any capacity. They are taking advantage of their power and their position, which we know is something that people can do for sure. As far as showing, like, how I'm trying to like get down to this, like, well, practically, how does she show honor to him? I think you nailed it by saying there's a difference between forgiveness and trust, and you know, it's good for us to be guarded in a sense, especially when we're dealing with a snake of some kind, when we're dealing with toxic people, abusive people, we have to put those boundaries in place. We have to align with other people that can help establish those boundaries for us. As far as showing him honor, it's almost like she would need to clarify what is the nature of their relationship now. Like, did they still have family dinners? Are they in relationship currently? I just don't know if it's somewhat estranged, then I don't know how you really, there's no interaction. There's no communication. Showing honor isn't going back to him and asking him to come be in relationship with you.
And we don't know the exact answer to give you for how you play that out. But since you're asking how to honor the Bible, basically, is what you're saying, how to honor the Bible by that word honor, what's interesting, because 1 Peter 2:17, I'm going to read the King James, since a lot of people love King James. It says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. A lot of other translations say honor the emperor. So Peter is saying, honor the emperor, right?
Yeah.
Now, obviously, they have huge qualms with the emperor of Rome. The emperor of Rome is bringing persecution and will continue to bring persecution on people that Peter is associated with here, these Christians. And yet, he's saying, honor the emperor. So this is something for you, Tina, to kind of wrestle with, mm-hmm. is that the Bible is going to call you to honor your father. And the Bible's also going to call you to honor everyone. As the ESV says in 1 Peter 2:17, it says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor.
Yeah, man, that's good. As you were saying that, this kind of jumped out to me that maybe the practical nature of how Tina is to honor her father is really up to her. There's so much nuance we don't know.
Yeah.
But
exactly.
It starts in her heart.
Exactly.
It starts with her viewing human life as God-given and seeing the Imago Dei, seeing that there's value in his life. Like God has him here for a reason. And I view the way that I view him is not as a waste of life, as something that needs to be taken off this earth, but that's when I think that forgiveness really wells up in us and is true, is when we look at that person that has abused us, that person that is our enemy, persecuted us, whatever it is, and we see past that sin, because that's all that is, unrepentant sin. And we can view them with a light of like, I still see the image of God in you, and I know that there's value of human life. Now, when you view someone that way, maybe the reactions that we have to them or the responses or the communication, it will just look different. But I think that's a start to like finding the step and pathway towards honoring him is really just
You said starts with the heart.
Yeah. How do we view him? Where was our heart looking at him through what lens? Yeah.
Instead of starting with him, start with your heart.
Yeah.
Look at him as an image of God, an image bearer of God. Honor your father. Mm-hmm. Honor the emperor.
And if you can't do that, that's where you are. Be honest about that. I think there's counselors, there's therapy, there's things that you can like, maybe there's some wounds in there that you really need to like talk about. Take to the Father and just pray. I know that it sounds the most cliche thing in the world. Read your Bible and pray. I get it, guys, but there is so much power in it. Redemptive power, restoring power, and healing power. I think that's where I'd start, Tina. I hope that's helpful.
Yep. We'll take a break. Be right back. I haven't really told anybody this yet, but we are building a brand new GrangerSmith.com, all new, and we decided to build it onto Shopify. So we had the idea that just in case, you know, we need to be able to sell like a river books on my website, we would use Shopify. And Shopify is something we've used for a long, long time. And we found it when we just didn't know where else to turn on in the digital marketplace to sell any kind of e-commerce. Shopify is the commerce platform revolutionizing millions of businesses worldwide, just like me in Yee Apparel. So whether you're just a garage entrepreneur or IPO ready, Shopify is the only tool you need to start, run, and grow your business without the struggle. Shopify puts you in control of every single sales channel. So whether you're selling satin sheets from Shopify's in-person POS system or offering organic olive oil on Shopify's all-in-one e-commerce platform, you're covered. And once you reach your audience, Shopify has the internet's best converting checkout to help you turn them from browsers to buyers. And that's why I'm building a new GrangerSmith.com on top of Shopify's platform. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the entire United States. And Shopify is truly a global force, powering Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across the globe, over 170 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. This is possibility powered by Shopify. Sign in for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Granger, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Granger to take your business to the next level today. Shopify.com/Granger. Podcast is brought to you guys by DCX Conference. Let me tell you about it. It's an intimate, in-person, two-day leadership conference held in Austin, Texas on October 11th and 12th. What's it about? Well, It's about developing yourself and your team as you learn from 10-plus diverse speakers at the top of their fields. Craft and connect a clear path to the leader and company you strive to be. Speakers include best-selling authors Tim Tebow, Patrick Lencioni, John Acuff, Dr. John Deloney, Chris Miroff, Vanessa Van Edwards, and more. This year's theme is The Fight for Unity. Life can feel divided in our personal lives, relationships, and communities, but we are better together. Learn how to experience unity in your teams, organizations, and families. Get your tickets today at dcxconferences.com. Use code DCXGRANGER for 25% off. If you can't attend in person, there is a live stream option available. Grab a link and gather your team remotely. Get ready to develop yourself, connect in community, and experience transformation. You might have heard me talk about it, but last Friday, September 15th, we had our Yee Yee Apparel fall launch. And this is my favorite launch we've ever done. I love the new concealed jacket that we have. It looks really nice. And there's like a zip-up soft shell jacket that's a desert camo that I love. And then a couple of the hats that are just crushing it for me. Anyway, I'm really excited about that. You could find out if we have anything left at that fall launch at yeeyee.com and go check it out for yourself. And then finally, if you need a message from me personally, custom made for you on my cell phone, you could do that through cameo.com/GrangerSmith. A lot of people will email and say, hey man, how can I get a personalized message for my girlfriend that Granger says happy birthday or happy anniversary to my wife? Or how can I get a message to my son to tell him congratulations on finishing school or starting school? And I always say, well, it's super easy. Cameo.com/GrangerSmith or download the Cameo app and search for me, Granger Smith. It's super easy. You fill out the little form. It shoots a message to me and it says, this person wants you to wish their son a happy birthday. Here's his name. Here's what he's into. Here's why he likes you. I could read that easily, pull out my phone, put on the selfie cam, and then make some kind of message, however you want me to do it, and send straight to you. So that's an easy thing to do, especially if you have someone you want to buy a gift for that you don't really know. They kind of have everything and you don't really know what to get them, or it's last minute. Maybe you missed their birthday or getting ready for the holidays coming up. Cameo is a great thing. I've done it for probably 5 years now, and it seems to be just a great tool for someone to get a quick message from me. Okay, back to the podcast. All right, back to the podcast. We're going to get into another question. We didn't get to too many questions on that last break, but we're going to rock through.
Me and Grizz just start blabbing, dude. We could waste the whole time.
That's true. Something else that's changed in my life with Burns is his brother now, his older brother, is now a member at my church, Emmaus in Georgetown.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool, man, because I love your brother, and I've gotten to see him a lot more. There was a time when I only really knew you, and then I got to know him a little bit. We went to a conference together. Mm-hmm. That was our first time to really spend time together. And then, man, just a crazy thing happened as life unfolded, and the Calcoats, we've had very deep connections with our two families for decades for all different reasons. And in this particular season, I was thinking about our church and I was thinking about your brother, and anybody might be wondering, why don't you tell Bernie this? Well, because Bernie lives a lot longer. You live a lot farther away than mm-hmm. your brother. Your brother lives a lot closer to me. Mm-hmm. And I just felt in this particular season, I was like, man, I got to hit up Jason because he could serve our church so well. Mm-hmm. And there's an interesting thing about being a member at a local church that sometimes we think that it's for us so that it could serve us and entertain us and we could just absorb it. But it goes both ways equally in a church. You know, you do take it in, but you also give it back equally because there's other people that need it. And I thought, man, Jason and Anna, his wife, would be able to serve really well in our church. And I think it would be great. So I texted him and he was like, if you have a good feeling about it, I would never deny that. So yeah, we'll come check it out. Lo and behold, you know, several months later now they are actually at the church.
Yeah. Matt, I am so excited for you to like dive deeper in relationship with that dude.
I know.
There are very few men on this planet that have influenced me in the way that Jason has. I could waste the rest of the podcast time talking about it, but I'm excited that you're going to get to kind of jump into the depths of, you know, what it means to, you know, glorify God with our lives with him.
Gosh.
He's super humble. So everything that he knows and has experienced when it comes to, you know, theology and walking with the Holy Spirit, and it will take a while because he's going to be so interested in like hearing what you have to say and like asking about this. And, but that's fun, man. I'm so happy for you guys. I'm not jealous at all. It's no big deal, you know?
I know, man.
But this is just a, this is,
I wish Bernie lived up here.
it's all good, man. This is though, you know, just another reason, Tyler, hello, Granger's brother, I've been asking you to come and run trails with me, dude. They could do their church thing. We could do the trail running thing. It's just dirt church. That's the only difference, man. Come on.
Let me ask you a question. In relation to you living a lot farther away than your brother does from here.
Uh-huh.
Why? I was thinking about this today, this morning. Why do you drive up here so often to be on this podcast?
Oh. That's a long answer.
You were a busy guy. We've established that.
Yeah.
You have a well-established career and a family.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you do this?
God said go. Opened the door, gave me the opportunities. And I think that part of my gifting is you know, there's another book I'm reading right now by Jamie Winship. Don't know if you know him. It's called Living Fearless, and it talks about like our true identity in Christ and how we are created uniquely, each one of us, for certain things. And a lot of times we're living in a false identity.
Hmm.
So we're not feeling the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're not feeling the fruit of the Spirit. We're not we're running into turmoil. There's a lot of different things, or maybe we're just complacent in this identity that's a false identity. And I think when we first started, when you asked me to come do this, and the first time that we did it, it really felt the format of it and what you were asking of me felt like it fit into my identity. And how
would you
God
say that
has
your identity
me?
Has to do with humility, curiosity, diligence, and confidence? Sorry, that's what your shirt says.
Yeah, these are core values of our company. But yeah, I think those are in there. But really, just being able to listen to people and just empathize, and no matter if it's and you've seen this with me and you for a long time. I'm not just gonna like hand the dude on the street corner $5. I'm going to sit down and talk to him. I'm going to understand his name. But then I have billionaire clients that I have to also be able to sit with, and like the same thing we were telling Tina, to view both of those people with the same value of life and really consider them more important than myself. Like, hey, what can I do to help you? What can I do to help you? What can I hear you? Is there something I can impart? Just going on tour with you was awesome, and being able to meet, you know, a lot of these Yee Nation fans, man, it's just such a privilege. I mean, I think the short answer is, it's like, who wouldn't want to do this? It's really, really fun. And to get to sit with one of my best friends and talk about life and all that God's doing. Yeah, man.
Dude, you know what that means to me, and what it's important to say this on the podcast too, before we get to a question, is basically what you said, because when you started it, you said, what did you say? This is what God called me to do. Mm-hmm. It's what God told me. God said, go. You said, God said, go. Well, so somebody might hear that and be like, he audibly said, Bernie, go. You know, no, but how you articulated it through your story is what you mean is when you are in the Word, when your prayer life feels healthy, and it's not ever going to be great, but when it feels healthy and you feel like you have a good walk, and you have people around you that are counseling you and that are walking with you and affirming you as you're moving forward, then at that level, you could start doing what you want to do because you're following the desires of your heart that God has given you those desires. You don't have unrepentant sin lurking around in your life. So at that level, when I say, hey, Bernie, you want to come to this podcast? And you think, you feel, yeah, I want to. Then you follow that because that equals God says go. Mm-hmm. How far is the drive for you?
It's about 45 minutes from my office. My office is about 20 minutes the other way from my house. So from my house, it's over an hour, but I'm usually downtown in my office and then I'll come up, work for a while and then come up.
That's wild, dude. Well, so. I appreciate you. And I know these people do too. So thank you, man. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
You want to do a question here?
Let's do it. I think that's what this podcast is about. So we should probably get to more of those.
You remember when you started this and you said, ask me something different?
Yeah.
This might be it. Just judging by the subject line, it says, want another baby, but husband isn't on board. Hey, Granger, I'm hoping you could help me with this struggle that's been very heavy on my heart for over a year now. We have two boys, ages 8 and 10, but we have felt the persistent feeling in my heart that, but I have felt the persistent feeling in my heart that our family needs another child to be complete. However, me and my husband decided about 4 years ago that our family was complete with two. But our lives have changed drastically over the last 2 years, and I feel more capable and ready to add to the family, but my husband is not, all caps, on board. He says age, among other things, is a factor for him. He's 40, and I am 34. How can I get past this? I have prayed and prayed for him to change his mind, but it hasn't happened, and I have not felt peace in my heart to just leave this behind. I don't want to resent him for it, but I'm struggling with accepting that no into my heart. Any advice is welcome. Thank you, Stephanie from Ohio. Oh, I like this question. Mm-hmm. This is good. We could really dissect this question here.
Okay, so let's do this because I heard last week when Amber was on, she said, you know, without there's a lot of other follow up questions I would like to ask, and since we don't have that option, her name was Stephanie.
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna be Stephanie. Okay. And I know that Stephanie, there's a ton of nuance to everything you're saying, but if there's questions that you, I'm going to pretend I'm Stephanie. And if you have questions that follow, like okay. Just a little more context, I'm going to give that to you as if that's her. And maybe it is, maybe it's not, but it'll at least give us like a, okay, if that is the answer to these things, then we would answer it this way. So.
Okay. Hi, Stephanie.
Thanks, Granger, for reading my question. What do you think?
Oh, you always make me laugh on these. I'm assuming, Stephanie, that you had maybe a very busy job with two kids at home, and you guys decided collectively, you agreed, no more children after this.
Yes, that's what drastically changed is that I have, you know, my husband got a raise as well, which also kind of like gave us a little bit more of a buffer for stress and the finances, but also allowed me to be at home. And so now I feel like I have more bandwidth.
Did you know, Stephanie, that when he says age, among other things, is a factor for him, he's 40. Did you know that he's not telling you the whole story?
No.
Yeah, there are other fears that he has. And he might not be able to fully tell you because he's a man and you're a woman. And he might not be able to fully articulate all of what he's feeling. But there is a core of fear in that. And a contentment that he has with what he has now. And why risk it when you could have a child with some kind of disability or you could have a miscarriage or you could suffer a loss. And to add something else to this family adds the risk that he could be responsible for a loss or a death or a heartache or a disability or any number of other things. And that is not a risk he's willing to take right now. Did you know that?
I want to make sure I'm getting the character backstory right. Did she mention anything about being follower Jesus?
No.
Okay.
No. She said, I have prayed and prayed for him to change his mind, but that's the only context we have.
Okay. So.
Let me say something interesting, Stephanie, is that your prayer is for you. Mm-hmm. Did you realize that? You've prayed and prayed one thing, according to this email. You've prayed and prayed that he changes his mind.
Yeah.
But what about your mind or your heart?
Yeah.
It's very interesting to think about the dynamic that's going on, that this sounds very one-sided on both spouses here.
Yeah. So I've prayed and prayed for him to change his mind. I just feel like he's being stubborn. And since I pray, I'm a believer. And I also know that the Bible tells me that I am, as the wife, to submit to my husband. Am I so supposed to just like submit to his authority that like this is the decision for our family? Or do I just keep fighting for this?
Well, I just so happen to have been in a situation very similar to this one. I've lived it. And so that's why this whole question is interesting. And in fact, even the age thing, I was 40. I was the 40-year-old husband in the situation, but the situation was flipped. I was the one that felt like our family wasn't complete and we could have another baby. I had, in my words, I had more love to give. And Amber was not on board with it. She said, no way. River was their last. How could we even think about replacing him? I won't even consider it. But here's the thing. It was difficult to hear that, but she's my wife. And so I had to say, I love you. I trust you. We have to be all in with something like a baby. That's a really big deal. The biggest deal in our family. We have to be all in together. And if you're not, then I won't push you and I won't bring it up again. I just had a feeling and I understand. I'll back off. Guess what happened when I said that? About a week or two goes by. And she said, I've been thinking, it was nagging her. Mm-hmm. I've been thinking, and since you said that, I don't want to discount a feeling that you had. So maybe I should just at least talk to the doctor. We'll just see what the doctor says about our ages and about the situation. She had her tubes tied. Maybe we'll just see what the doctor says. We're not saying, yes, let's have a baby. We're just saying, let's just see if there's an option to even try. Mm-hmm. And suddenly that opened up. And I didn't say, absolutely right. You know it. We're going to get this done. It's about time you submit. You know, I didn't say that. I said, okay. I said, and if any point you start feeling uncomfortable, we're done. We're backing out. And Stephanie, so I would tell you, have you been that way to your husband? Mm-hmm. Or is it just like, have you made up your mind yet? Because I'm the clock is ticking and I feel my biological clock and I'm 34 and this is my last chance. And or is that how you are?
Yeah, guys, Granger has just done for Stephanie what he does for so many of you. That is just, it's where it all lies. The answers to all of these questions most of the time lie in you taking the mirror and turning it on yourself. Like starting with your heart, your approach, your response. So that's the question, Stephanie, is what is your conversation around this topic like with your husband? And if you sense around this topic that there's something there, don't keep pushing on it. Maybe just like pivot and say, hey, I'd love to talk about this thing. I feel like it may be bugging you, or just there may be something going on with him. And if the answer to your question may just be, you know, secondary. So like try to connect with him and understand, like, why does he feel like the family's done, or why doesn't he want to have another kid? And approach it with kind of a grace mentality like Granger's talking about, but also start with just examining, like, how am I approaching it? Where is my heart at in this? And I don't know. Yeah, I think that you may actually, it may change your heart and it may change his heart at the same time.
Yes.
And you may be surprised at where you guys end up. It may not be with having another kid, but I guarantee you it'll be with you and your husband having a better relationship. So,
oh, that's so good.
It's a win-win.
That's so good. Let me give you a quick thought on a prayer, Stephanie. Instead of saying, God, change his mind, change his mind, change his mind. What if it was this? God, if there is another baby in this family, you know it. You have done it. You have purposed it. You have planned it. You are sovereign. You're providential. So if there's another baby, it's coming. And there's nothing stopping that. But I pray right now because I want one. And you know that I want one. But I also feel like this is a lack of trust in you, that I'm feeling like it's up to me to convince my husband. That's ridiculous. And Lord, I'm so sorry. I repent of that. To think that the baby is up to me and that that my husband has to decide and I have to convince him a baby is here or not, depending upon you. So I just trust you and I praise you and I glorify you. Soften my heart. And if there is a baby, I pray that you soften my husband's heart and this comes together with clarity. Let me know what to do in these next steps. I would try that. Try that kind of prayer, and that will change you. And I could tell you from experience, those kind of prayers rearrange everything inside you.
Yeah. Thanks, Granger. Stephanie, he just nailed it.
You want to take a much lighter-hearted question here?
Okay.
Next one, the subject line says, don't trust myself to date while on the road, while working on the road. It says, hey, my name is Ashton. I'm 21 years old, and I work on a pipeline, and I like this girl, but I don't trust myself enough to date while I'm working on the road, and I don't know what I should do.
I'm not laughing at Ashton. Sometimes when you read questions, depending on what the content is, your accent will change. Oh, Chris. Okay. Yes. Yeah, Ashton, you got some trust issues, man. And you may be going after the wrong girls.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're 21 and you like a girl and you don't trust yourself to be faithful to her, then keep looking. Keep looking. There's two things could be wrong. One, she's not the right girl, and two, you're not in the right space. And I got a feeling it's probably both at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're young. Don't rush.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong. 21, you're totally good.
Yeah.
And at the same time, don't go be a whore. Just don't do that either.
Yeah.
This question says, subject line, what's next for the band? Hey, Granger, I was wondering what the band members' reaction was to you retiring from music and what the next step is for them and how the rest of the crew is involved in touring, like the bus drivers. And Tyler, thank you for being a light in the world. Emily. Yeah, Bernie got the privilege of going out the last few weeks and
I did.
Seeing everybody. And maybe you could attest what the attitude was like backstage.
Yeah, I talked to those guys. I talked to just about everybody apart from you. So they weren't just like in front of Granger trying to say, oh, it's great. I think that there was a spirit of gratitude and like understanding. I think at first, you know, it was like, whoa, this is going to be a big change. Mm-hmm. I felt like an excitement from people that there was opportunity and sometimes like, you know, I think there was acceptance of like, man, God is doing something here amongst that team. Man, I just felt like people sensed God is doing something. How am I going to be a part of it? Some of them had, you know, you can speak more specifically like what they're going to do. I know Chris is staying on with you. Obviously Tyler, is going to continue everything he's doing, but, the band guys, I mean, Johnny is going to be with you in some sense.
Yeah. So, I think there was a sense of everyone was very kind of at peace with it and content with it. And some of them saw it coming. I guess I could say that to your first question of what did they think when you told them. Some of them were shocked. And so kind of all the emotions, there is a sense within all of them of a little bit of worrying on what's going to happen in the next season because no one really had a for sure plan. I think Nard, my merch guy, he's assistant tour manager for Cody Johnson now. Ryan, my monitor guy, he's out working with somebody, maybe even Cody Johnson.
Dude, too. Ryan is a stud. So yeah. is Nard.
Yeah.
Love both those guys.
Grizz, the front of house guy, love him. And he is working for a media company in Austin, not traveling anymore. Just got married and they're pregnant now. So
South Austin, hit me up, Grizz.
Yeah, I think he is. I think okay. he is. Todd's going to be playing lots of gigs, doing what he does. Dusty is in a season of limbo. Not really sure. I'm secretly hoping that he doesn't tour. He's a fantastic drummer and such a value to any band, but he's also a father of three and they're building a home. And I think this might be a really cool season for him to see what it's like for the first time in his life to not travel. And to what was it? Redeem the household. What was it?
Habits of the
household. Habits of the household. And then Johnny is probably going to be doing some property management for me here, the Yigi Farm, and some other places, mm-hmm. Which I'm excited about.
And then he'll pick up some gigs too, right?
Yeah, yeah. And him and his wife have a real estate deal going on that they like to flip houses, and he's a really good handyman. And then Chris is still working for me. His role, instead of tour manager, it's more like personal assistant. And Tyler is still managing. Mm-hmm. And Paul is still editing this podcast and all that. So, yeah. The guys got a bonus. And tomorrow, as we record this podcast, tomorrow they'll get it. And they know it's coming, but they're all going to get a bonus. And the money is from the buses that we sold. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really cool that, and kind of poetic that the vehicles that took them away from their families for so long are that's the money that's being paid back to them, to their families.
Yeah.
So, so in that aspect, it's not like they're hurting. They're not like looking for immediately to pay the bills or anything. So they're all okay. But it's going to be an exciting time to see what's next for everybody. And I'll still keep in touch with everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there's something really special about new seasons. And chapters kind of like ending and new things beginning. So
same. Great, bro. Appreciate you being on.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
See you next time. See all of y'all next Monday. Yee yee. Thanks for joining me on the Granger Smith podcast. I appreciate all of you guys. You could help me out by rating this podcast on iTunes. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to this channel, hit that little like button and notifications bell so that you never miss any time I upload a video. If you have a question for me that you would like me to answer, email grangersmithpodcast@gmail.com. Yee yee.
Do you love fashion? Do you love getting compliments on how well you're dressed? Are you always seeking the latest trends? Then we're talking to you. BostonProper.com is your fashion destination and the only place to go for all those nods, head turns, and new styles. No matter the day, season, or occasion, Boston Proper has what you're looking for. Sophisticated, confident clothing designed to flatter and get noticed. So visit BostonProper.com now and start creating your perfect wardrobe. Boston Proper. Wear it like no one else.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.